We are so excited to have our next guest on, a five-time Grey Cup champion and, of course, a former Pro Bowler in the National Football League as well. He has a lot of football to watch this weekend, and he'll be calling maybe the best Sunday afternoon game, Steelers at Seahawks, of course, on the Seahawks radio network. The legendary Hall of Famer Warren Moon joining us on Brady and Walker. It's great to have you on. This is your weekend, isn't it?
It is our weekend. It's a big weekend here in Seattle for the Seahawks, as well as the University of Washington, where I went to school. We got the Apple Cup today.
That's
against,
right.
Washington State, and a lot of good football going on this weekend.
And then I read this story about how you've got a special place in your heart for the UBC Thunderbirds, and you've been in touch with Michael O'Connor. So you got a little riding on the line on a lot of huge showdowns this weekend with Vanier Cup going tomorrow.
Yeah, I keep my hands in a lot of different things, and I'm really excited about what UBC has done this year. Coach Niles has really done a great job coming in there and turning over that program, and Michael O'Connor is a big reason why. A big acquisition that they got from Penn State. He's a Canadian player and had a great season so far.
I thought yesterday was really something for quarterbacks. I want to talk to you about the evolution of the position. Matt Stafford had a great day. He's had three very good weeks in a row, one at Lambeau a couple weeks ago, and then two really good offensive performances. And I mentioned Jay Cutler. You might have heard a little bit of that with Cutler going to Lambeau. They get down early and just not easy to play in those kind of conditions. And he made plays, and he kept drives going. And I just thought this is why we don't see a lot of teams, Warren, give up on quarterbacks. If you can make it through about a 3 or 4 year phase and you can prove something, and both those guys have, Cutler's gone to an NFC title game, Stafford's thrown for 5,000 yards, people don't give up. You shouldn't give up on quarterbacks like that. Tony Romo's, Philip Rivers, teams stay with those type of players now a lot longer, don't they?
Well, they have to. You know, there's just not a lot of great quarterbacks walking around on the streets out there. Otherwise, they'd be on these teams. So when you have a quarterback that you think you can win with, that you think could be a franchise quarterback, yeah, you do have to roll with them because, like I said, there's just not that many of them out there. So Jay Cutler has had his ups and downs, but definitely yesterday was one of his ups, and definitely with Matthew Stafford as well. He's been as productive as any quarterback over the last probably 4 or 5 years, but just hasn't had the big, big wins to show for it. And some of that is you just have to have a great team around you as well. So he had a great performance yesterday. I don't think it surprised anyone just because he's got that type of ability. He's just got to put it together more consistently.
Warren Moon joining us. 4 Grey Cups with the Edmonton Eskimos and, of course, 9 visits to the Pro Bowl in the NFL. We all wish you'd gotten into the NFL a bit sooner. Circumstances that were kind of negative and unfortunate prevented that. I know you don't begrudge your time in Canada, but you came to the NFL at 28 with Houston. And when I see young quarterbacks now, I understand why guys like Cam play right away and Andrew Luck play right away. Do we have too many guys who are second-rounders, late first-rounders? I'm thinking of guys like Ryan Tannehill and E.J. Manuel was a couple years ago. They're kind of, Geno Smith, kind of being pushed into the fire, Warren, a little too soon. I look at Brock Osweiler and I think this is fantastic. 3 years behind Peyton Manning, you can't ask for a better scenario. We just mentioned Rodgers and he had that with Favre. Quarterbacks are having to go in and figure it all out when they're 22, 23 now, aren't they? At any age, they are.
Yeah, it's kind of always been that way. The problem is you don't get a chance to develop these guys, and there's usually not a good veteran quarterback ahead of them. That's why you're drafting a quarterback that high in the draft. You draft a first-rounder because the guy you have isn't good enough, and most teams aren't going to have the patience to go along with that guy that they're getting somebody drafted for because they want to make a change and get their fan base on the right page to show them that they're doing something to improve the football team. So in a lot of cases, these guys are put out there too quickly, and a lot of them get their confidence destroyed very early in their careers because they're not only just put out there, but they're up there without good people around them. And if you're a young quarterback, you really need good people around you to help make that transition a little bit easier. We've seen guys that have come in and done that, like Ben Roethlisberger, where he wasn't asked to do everything when he first came in.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good defense and a good running game, but we've also seen other guys who have been asked to carry the load, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's remarkable. You can't stereotype it and put it in a box and say this is always how it should be, but it just feels like guys get a lot less time. I referenced when you were still in the league, even Donovan McNabb got to watch Rodney Peete, even for eight games, and he's Donovan McNabb, and he had a great career, but those 8 games were valuable. Even Brady with a year and a half with Bledsoe, there has to be value there for those guys.
It is, and it's unfortunate that those situations aren't everywhere that these young guys come into the league. So Some of them are going to have to play a little bit quicker than others, and hopefully they survive the growing pains that young quarterbacks go through early in that process. And some of them don't, some of them do, and that's just kind of what happens. You kind of roll the dice when you put one of those young guys on the field too quickly.
Warren Moon, kind enough to join us. Five Grey Cups on Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Cross Canada on Sportsnet 360. So you're in Seattle when the big move happens to go Russell Wilson. I want to ask you what a roll of the dice you thought it was at the time, because now it looks like a genius move and a no-brainer, but they sign Matt Flynn away from Green Bay in the offseason, draft Wilson maybe more as a future project. Pete Carroll's come back to the NFL after being great at USC, but he's coming off 2 7-9 seasons. What did you think in camp and in preseason when Pete Carroll says, it's Russell Wilson, this is his team, we're starting the rookie? It's a tremendous risk for a coach, isn't it?
It really is, but if you know Pete, he's all about competition, and he lets every position compete for jobs. And especially when he first came in here, there wasn't anybody on this team that had a job solidified, including the quarterback. That's why they went out and got Matt Flynn, and that's why they drafted Russell Wilson. So once they opened it up to a competition, they let all of them play in the preseason, and they evaluated them very, very carefully. And Russell Wilson was clearly the best quarterback they had on the football team at that time, and he deserved to get the start. And we've seen what happened because of that. And a lot of that is because, again, he had a good team around him. He had a really good defense that he could rely on, and he had a really strong running game. So Russell didn't have to carry the football team. He just had to manage it. He had to make some big plays, which he did, and take very good care of the football. And he did all of those things, and now the rest is history.
The absence of Marshawn Lynch, what does it do to the football team in Seattle over the next month or so? How slim or faint are the hopes that they can get him back around Christmas time and maybe for playoff games?
Well, there's no question that Marshawn is a huge loss, because he's kind of the face of this offense and in some ways the face of this team, because he kind of epitomizes everything they stand for, that physical toughness, grinding it out, running the football physically at the line of scrimmage. But they also have another young kid by the name of Thomas Rawls, who's really filled in well and had over 200 yards last week. If he had another game earlier this season where he had 170 yards where Marshawn didn't play. So they feel confident that they do have somebody that can kind of take over that role until Marshawn gets back. But you want to have a Marshawn Lynch on your football team to try and finish the season if you can, and hopefully they can get him back sometime in December.
Does it feel at all like last year for the Seahawks, because they were, you know, defending conference champs, came out of the gate, defending Super Bowl champs, I should say, came out of the gate, and there's a target, you know how it works. But then they really found their game by November, December. I don't know that they'll have the same record, and the defense is a little bit older. But what I think plays in their favor, Warren, is I'm not sure the NFC is as strong as it's been the last 4 years. I think we've seen teams kind of up and down, Atlanta, Minnesota. There's teams we thought would be contenders. Nobody out of the NFC East is really threatening. And Seattle may be able, of course, Carolina looks the best, but Seattle may be able to slide up the middle and go deep because of all the inconsistency for everybody else.
Yeah, and I think this team is looking at that as well, that the NFC is not as potent as it's been in the past. And if they can somehow, some way get into the playoffs with the experience that they have and they can go on the road and win anywhere, they have a chance to get right back into the Super Bowl in San Francisco. But they've got to get a string of wins together here really quickly. And if they can do that, and the schedule, I think, permits that, it's going to be a tough battle this week with Pittsburgh, because they have a lot of weapons and a really hot quarterback. But if they can get past this game and put together a winning streak, they have a chance to get in the playoffs. Once you get in, it's just a matter of being hot.
How it's gone with Colin Kaepernick, and I know he's injured, but does it shock you? Did you see any signs of this? I watched that. What a classic NFC title game with Russell Wilson and he 2 years ago. And we're all watching that thinking, this is great football. And these guys will be rivals. Like, we don't know if it'll be, Montana and Sims or some of the great, you know, you had some battles with Boomer Esiason when he was in Cincinnati back and forth, Kelly and Marino, but it looked like a rivalry for the future. I don't feel like we think that now. What do you think happened with Colin in San Fran?
I think they just tried to make Colin something that he really wasn't, and they got away from the things that made him successful, you know, running the read option and things like that, throwing the ball to the tight end a bunch. Vernon Davis was a big weapon for him early in his career. And they tried to make him more of a pocket passer, more of a guy to stay in the pocket and try and throw to all these different wide receivers, and that's just not his game. And so when you have a quarterback, you've got to look at his strengths and his weaknesses and build your offense around what his strengths are. And I don't think San Francisco's done a very good job of that with Colin. And once he started playing bad, his confidence just seemed to falter. And now we are where we are. They're probably done with Colin Kaepernick as far as being in San Francisco in the future.
Hall of Famer Warren Moon joining us on Brady and Walker. So it has to bring back special memories when I say how beloved you are in Canada, in the city of Edmonton, the city of champions, the five Grey Cup titles. I'm curious, long form stuff. Do you look at the CFL from afar? And I heard you on with Colin Coward earlier this week, and he asked you why more guys don't necessarily go up like your Jeff Garcia's, Doug Flutie's, and give it a real crack. What do you see as sort of the future of the CFL? It was thought at the time, you know, players could develop, cut their teeth to some extent there who couldn't get opportunities in the NFL and come down south. But is it there not enough money involved? It's got nothing to do with talent. There's some great kids out there, and they don't seem to want to come up here as much.
Well, I think it's all of that. I think every kid that plays in the U.S. would love to be able to play in the U.S. professionally if they can, and they're going to try every opportunity to do that. And it's the same for for maybe a kid that plays hockey up in Canada. They'd love to be able to play their hockey in Canada if they possibly can, even though a lot of the league is spread out around the United States. But I think the fact that money has something to do with it, because the average salary down here is a pretty good average salary. But I don't think there's as many good quarterbacks. And if we're talking quarterbacks now, if you're a quarterback, you have a chance to play in the NFL, because there's not as many good quarterbacks coming out, and there's a good chance for you to make a football team. So I think back when I came out, there were a lot more good quarterbacks, and you just ran out of the numbers. So like I said, if most guys had their druthers, they would love to be able to play in the National Football League coming out of college, because that's where you were born. That's where you grew up with those dreams. And I had those same dreams, but I was also more realistic that I'm going to go wherever they're going to give me a chance to play quarterback. So that's where my opportunity came in Canada. And I'm forever grateful for that opportunity. And I had a great time up there and really enjoyed the experience, and was able to move on and still realize my dream in the NFL.
Yeah, it could have been a happier ending, and great success on both sides of the border. So, all right, so your three play this weekend is the UBC Thunderbirds, the Edmonton Eskimos, the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday. You're hoping to go 3-0.
I'd love to go 4-0. I got my University of Washington.
The Huskies today against the Cougars. That's right.
So I've got four games that I'm really looking at closely. Three of them, two of them are championship games, so hopefully I'm definitely winner in those two championship games. So those are two big ones.
Now the rings will be in the mail. Warren, thank you so much for this. Folks love hearing you on this side of the border. You know that. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Well, thanks for having me on. And to all the fans out there, I really appreciate all the support you've given me over the years. And have a great holiday season coming up.